You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The power sweep, actually, is the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or our tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet to get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, comes all the way around. If you look at this play, where they're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. We're flying solo this evening. Just got off the phone with Tim. He is driving back from the great city of Milwaukee. And Emilio, I think he's recovering from the festivities here in studio all weekend long. And Jacob, of course, is at work. He may call in here in a second as well. But planning on flying solo, I just sent Jake Shavink a message. Jake, if you haven't gotten it yet, if you want to hop in here, buddy, you feel free to do so. But we've got plenty of things to talk about, that's for sure. So, yeah. First of all, let's give everybody a shout-out in the chat. We got Perambulator in the house. We got Mike Berry, Ron Samble, Pete M, Jake Shavink himself in here. Let's see, we got Richard Streeter, Josh Vallandigham. We got Ron Samble, United Bates, Mr. Larry Cano, Dave James, Nathan, Dane Stromstad. We got to stop soon. Andy A back in the house. Good to see you, buddy. We got Greg in here. Yeah, the whole crew, man, the whole crew. So let's see what Mike Berry said here. Mike Berry says, Clayton, what are the costs of going to the draft next year? Whew. As far as costs, I'm not sure if that's a serious question or not, but we've already got an Airbnb lockdown, and I'll just say this, the price doubled on their normal rate. So the great people of Green Bay, and rightfully so, are gonna get their money's worth for renting out their homes. So we're excited about going up. Our plan is to go and kind of mingle throughout the day, hang out, meet some listeners, stuff like that. Maybe grab a good meal and an ice cold daddy soda, just get to know people. And then we're going to go back to the HQ and do the live draft party is kind of how we're going to approach it. So we're excited about it being in Green Bay. It's going to be absolutely awesome. I just don't have any desire to stand shoulder to shoulder in a crowd of, you know, over 300,000 people or however many may show and stare at the board all day like this. So I've got to be sitting down. I've got to have my draft boards in front of me. I've got to have access to all the information that we deem is relevant in the draft and take it in that way, but still be able to kind of experience what it's going to be like in Green Bay, right? That's going to be absolutely awesome. So really excited about that. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but if you're talking about room and board, buddy, they're going to get theirs, that's for sure. Jake Shavink in the house says over under 5.5 minutes for a Home Depot drive. So if I wasn't flying solo, you would already have had a Home Depot drop. I guarantee it, Jake. So Some people are going, what does Home Depot have to do with the Packers? Go back and watch the draft party. I'll just leave it at that. Oh, man. So let's see here. Jake Erton in the house says, hey, Clayton, I usually don't catch your show live. Just wanted to take a moment and say thanks for what you do. Great content, Packer fan in Minnesota. Hey, thank you for being over there in enemy territory, holding it down for the Packers, man. But I appreciate the kind words. It's been a blast. A lot of work goes into the draft, from a podcast standpoint. But I think there's a lot of things I wish we would have done different. But overall, the guys just absolutely crushed it, man. Like I said, Tim, Jacob, Emilio, everybody, obviously Jake Shavink hopping on the stream yesterday with me and Ryan, and Ryan being in here with his son, Colin, just an absolutely awesome time. But the guys, I know people got tired of mock drafts, and we tried to explain as we went along. For us, the mock drafts were exercises. It was, okay, where are these guys falling? Let's use this database. Let's use that database. Let's maybe amplify it a bit where teams will focus on needs this mock draft as opposed to overall talent, and just kind of get a real good feel of where players are going to be taken, right? And the biggest surprise to me in the draft was Leonard Taylor not getting drafted, and I'm really interested in seeing what comes out on that. But nonetheless, thank you so much for the kind words, Jake. We appreciate you, bub. Yeah, thank you, Magic. Appreciate it. So let's do this before we get into some of the content we're going to cover here. First things first, let's kind of talk some undrafted free agents. There was a report that came out from Aaron Wilson, who covers the NFL, that Jalen Sundell had signed with the Packers. And I got so freaking excited. Jalen Sundell was creeping up on the top 100 on my board. And then it came out, they even had details like it was going to be a $10,000 check right off the bat, $100,000 guaranteed. So it was like, all right, this is a legit offer. And it sounded like the Packers were, in front on that. And then lo and behold, the Cleveland Browns ended up signing him. So that one kind of stung a bit, but we do have the undrafted free agents. To the best of my knowledge, this is the latest reporting on them. We'll go ahead and kind of get that information out. And so basically we got running back, Jarvion Howard, I hope I'm saying that correct, from Alcorn State. You guys remember Donald Driver with Alcorn State, pretty cool. Wide receiver Julian Hicks from Albany, invited to minicamp. Tight end Messiah Swinson from Arizona State. You got offensive tackle Donovan Jennings from USF. You got offensive tackle Trent Jones from Michigan. So got him a national championship. He knows how to win up there. Defensive tackle James Esther from Northern Illinois. Defensive tackle Rodney Matthews from Ohio. Punter Porter Wilson from Duke, says invited to minicamp. And then long snapper Peter Bowden from Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin fans are going to be excited about that. So, let's see here. Coach Lynn says, damn, what about Greenfield, South Dakota State University guard? Again, this is it's kind of hard to find the finished product when it comes to undrafted free agents. There's several sites that still have our boy on there, right? Jalen Sundell. And I'm like, okay, did he sign with us or not? What's going on here? But I'm almost positive that has been finalized with the Browns. So he's definitely on the roster. So it may take a couple of days, Coach Lynn, to get this stuff to kind of filter out here and settle down, right? So we'll keep an eye on that for sure. But just wanted to kind of name drop all those guys. And as far as who is let me mark that one here real quick. As far as who was on my board amongst these undrafted free agents, Jarvion Howard from Alcorn State, running back, he was number 217 on my big board. Okay, so that's a real quality signing there, in my opinion. Also, Donovan Jennings, offensive tackle from USF. He was 218 on my big board. Okay. So those two guys were on the board initially. What I did was went in and worked up the other guys using the same system, criteria, whatever you want to call it, on my board to see where they would have fit in, because you guys know my board is designed to only go a top 150. This year we got really out of hand and we went like 260 prospects or whatever it may be. I think we might've cracked 270 if I remember correctly, but, so what I did was went ahead and worked those guys in, and here's where they landed. Julian Hicks, wide receiver, came in at the 262 spot, okay? Well, let me back up. Jarvion Howard, who was 217 on my big board, His RAS was a 7+. Okay, so he finished in the sevens on RAS. Donovan Jennings did not have a complete profile in RAS. And that honestly might be why he went undrafted. If he would have been able to do a little bit more as far as combine numbers, measurables, things like that, then maybe he would have had an RAS. So now let's go back to Julian Hicks. Julian Hicks, wide receiver, right, from Albany. He came in the 262 spot on my board, so at the very bottom. But nonetheless, a 9+ RAS score for him. So that's going to be interesting. That's going to be one of those guys we're rooting for. If he makes it past mini camp and makes it to training camp, it'll be interesting to see what exactly he can do. Now, do I think that there's room for him on the active roster? Probably not, right? But it's going to be exciting to have someone like that potentially earn their spot on the practice squad and be able to elevate him throughout the year, right? So I know Emilio, before he tore out of here earlier today, we went and watched a little bit of Julian Hicks' highlights, and looks like a pretty interesting prospect for sure. And I know Packer fans, we always fall in love with our camp invites with the wide receivers, right? You can think back to many different wide receivers that we were pulling for that were either just camp invites or late round picks, right? So, yeah, there you go. It looks like John said Greenfield actually signed with Seattle. I think that was the guy that Coach Lynn was, asking about, I believe. Yeah, okay, cool. So there is that. Now, as far as Messiah Swenson, he came in at the 268 spot. He had it was less than 7 RAS, okay? So I just put an X if it was less than 7. To me, it doesn't really matter. Once you get underneath 7, it's like, okay, there's really nothing to talk about there. It doesn't mean they're not going to be a good football player. It just means, obviously, they don't meet those athletic thresholds that we always talk about. We had offensive lineman Donovan Jennings that was 218. Again, he did not have a profile on RAS. Offensive lineman Trent Jones from Michigan, he comes in the 247 spot on my big board, and he had a 7+ RAS, so not too bad there. Defensive lineman James Esther comes in at the 248 spot. He did not have a qualifying RAS, or he scored under 7, I should say, so nothing really special there. Defensive lineman Rodney Matthews came in at 269, and he was below a 7. RAS as well. So that's how that goes there. So those are your undrafted free agents for Green Bay here in 2024. Now let's kind of look at the class as a whole here, right? The actual draft class itself. Obviously got the screen grab from Packers Twitter account. So we got Jordan Morgan with the first round pick, 25th overall tackle out of Arizona. We got Edgerrin Cooper in round 2, pick 45 overall. All right, he's a linebacker out of Texas A&M, Edgerrin Cooper. You guys know, big talking point this whole draft process. Greg Cosell said he's the best linebacker in the draft. His draft position would suggest that NFL GMs agreed, right? You know, obviously, he was the first linebacker taken off the board, to the best of my knowledge, unless you want to talk about some of the edge defenders potentially playing a hybrid role in specific defenses. I think Edgerrin Cooper would definitely be considered the top linebacker in this draft after the draft is over, right? So you guys know he was my fourth best linebacker on my board. And as we pointed out many times, the reason he dropped down the fourth best was because of his 2022 PFF grade. Now, if you guys have been listening to us all along, the reason we implemented the 2022 PFF grade is because last year, Jaden Reed got drafted and nobody really had a beat on him, right? We had him graded much lower. And if you had looked at his previous year, right, not the his last college year, but the year before, Jaden Reed just had a phenomenal year. So it was like, okay, if Goody is putting that much stock into how well a player plays, not the year he came out with the draft, but the year before, we need to implement that into the board somehow, some way. So we did it, and I had to make a decision. Do we want it to just be a positive, implication, or do we want it to be something that's just more well-rounded? Well, you guys know my board and how I try to create it. I want it to be a safe draft board. I want it to be, hey, look, you're going to see several names get drafted that are low on my board, but the reason they're low is because there's not maybe a whole lot of consistency, right? So it's kind of a board that's set up with a very high floor, if you will. So that's why Junior Colson was the top linebacker in the draft for me. Now, as Greg Cosell said on the audio we played for you guys and gals the other day, He said Edgerrin Cooper is the best linebacker in the draft. He may not be day one, but he is the best linebacker in the draft. I know people hear that and they go, well, that's he's contradicting himself. No, he's simply saying that this guy, if he had to pick a linebacker out of the whole group, he's taking Edgerrin Cooper. But it may take a year to get under his belt before he kind of gets acclimated to the game at the NFL level, because he's, I don't want to say he's raw, but his upside is very much similar to Quay Walker. Quay Walker is just a physical freak, right? Edgerrin Cooper is like a Quay Walker 2.0. Now, I will tell you, I did a complete edit, a cut up. I've been up here for 4 hours getting Chalk Talks ready. So we're going to have those coming up for you this week. When I look and broke down the tape from last year for Edgerrin Cooper, he could not have played any better. And PFF had him graded, I think, as the second highest linebacker in the entire country. So they agreed, all right, this, I mean, he just had a phenomenal year. The problem was the year before, he graded out in the 60s. I'm telling you, when you go back and watch the 2022 tape as compared to the 2023 tape, it looks like two different players. Like Edgerrin Cooper played like an absolute, his hair was on fire every single play. The instincts, the start, stop, shoot that he does, which is essentially ball snap, you know, first couple steps into the play, quick start, get himself in position, get the upper hand on the blockers, the pull, whatever it may be, right? In place for coverage. And then it's a start, stop, settle, right? Read, react, and then shoot your shot. Get to where you need to be. It's phenomenal. So I'm excited to break down Edgerrin Cooper on Chalk Talk for sure. Next was Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia, with the second round pick, 58th overall. You guys know he was our second best safety on the board. And I can probably flash these up to you guys here in a minute and kind of show you where they landed. But essentially what you have was offensive tackle Jordan Morgan with the 25th pick. He was 32nd on my board. Edgerrin Cooper with the 45th pick, because we traded back, you guys know, a couple spots. We drafted him 45th. He was 70 on my board. So it looks like a reach there, but we showed you guys where Goody reaches, according to everyone's board, that, you know, the consensus big board, our board, all that. And again, it doesn't mean that Goody had him in the 70 spot either. It means Goody had him rated way higher, right? So it's important to mention that, you know, as we're talking about it. So Edgerrin Cooper, again, was 70th on my board. Javon Bullard, we took with a 58th pick. He was 50th on my board, and he was the second best safety, only behind Tyler Newbin. And if you had told someone that back in February or March, they would probably roll their eyes at you, right? But Javon Bullard, the closer we got to the draft, you could really see, man, Kim Kitchens is starting to sink out of sight. Now, I know we were very vocal that I was not very high on Kim Kitchens out of Miami. I didn't see it. The PFF grades were mediocre at best. When you turn on the tape, you didn't see him do anything special. Tyler Newbin set the school record for interceptions, right? So, like, you could see on tape the stats lined up with the PFF grade. The PFF grade lined up with the tape. Everything just kind of fell into place with Tyler Newbin. When you looked at Javon Bullard, I would say I feel real comfortable saying Javon Bullard probably has more upside than Tyler Newbin. The difference is I think Tyler Newbin's a little more ready right now. But he's not as, you know, at least the RAS would suggest he's not near as athletic as Javon Bullard. When I was doing the Chalk Talk segment today, breaking down the tape and getting everything edited and ready to go, Javon Bullard's tape to me was just, it was phenomenal. And you guys know we've watched highlights of Javon Bullard, and Jacob was the one that kind of first fell in love with him and brought him to our attention. And, of course, you know, by the time we get here to the draft, it's like, lo and behold, he's on my board as the second best safety. You could see it, but when you really break down the tape and just see how fluid he is, see how it's just a great combination of having really good eyes, understanding what he's reading, what he's recognizing, and shooting the shot and wasted absolutely no time doing that. He was just a really fun watch, no doubt. So Javon Bullard, again, picked at 58. He came in at 50 on my board. So that's you get a +8 for that. There, Goody. So let's see Marshawn Lloyd, the halfback out of USC. We took him with the 88th pick. He was 89 on my big board. You're talking about fist bumping because it couldn't have fell. I mean, we were just one spot off of where he sat on the big board. The big board really came in nice this year. I'll just leave it at that, man. It was a lot of fun putting it together, and I think we're on something there. I'm going to make one minor tweak. I've got a note to do so that I think will make it even more accurate, but I really like the way it fell. But, yeah, Marshawn Lloyd, he was like the third or fourth best running back on my board, if I remember correctly. I've got it right here. I don't want to waste too much time counting while you guys are listening. So I know we got people on the podcast as well. Let's see here. My top graded running back was Trey Benson at 43. That's where he ended up settling in at. Blake Corum at 46. So that's two. All right. Jonathan Brooks at 59. That's three. Bucky Irvin at 69, that's four. And then I think it was Marshawn Lloyd, if I remember correctly. Actually, no, Ray Davis, that's five. He was at 83. Marshawn Lloyd was at 89, right? So, yeah, so he came in, what, sixth on my running back board, if I remember correctly? Let's see, one. Yeah, I think that's right. One, two.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
3, 4, 5, yes, 6, 7th. So he was the 7th best running back on my board. Definitely worthy of the 88th pick. I was just higher on those other guys. Now, this is where you got to remove the ego, right? Daniel Jeremiah, hands down, has been adamant this whole draft process that Marshawn Lloyd is the best running back in the draft. He's the only person, to the best of my knowledge, he's the only person I've heard say Marshawn Lloyd is the best running back in this draft. And when Daniel Jeremiah says something, like, he's got an eye for talent. You know, he's a former NFL scout, stand-up dude. You know he's not going to say something just to get that whole attention factor that most people in the sports media do. Not most, some in the sports media do. He's not going to do anything to hurt a prospect, right? You'll never see him tear a prospect down to the sense of a personal thing where it might hurt their draft stock. I really appreciate and respect that about DJ. But the fact that he said Marshawn Lloyd was his best running back, I'm like, okay, I got you. Went back and watched some tape on him, me and Emilio did the other night. Holy cow, man. What a fun watch. And again, it doesn't mean that my board should have him in any different spot. I'm going to keep it the way it is. But Daniel Jeremiah, again, having that, singing that high praise for Marshawn Lloyd is really, really cool. So, again, we took him at 88. He was 89 on my board. Ty Hopper is the one, Tyrone Hopper. We drafted him at 91, linebacker out of Missouri. He's the one that's got me kind of scratching my head. I had him at 237 on my big board. We took him at 91. And I seen everyone else had him in a similar spot. Like, if I were to pull Tyrone Hopper up here on the big board, again, I had him at 237 on the vertical board. So, let's see here. Let me find him. Yeah, Tyrone Hopper, 237. So, here's what brought him down. The PFF grade in 2022, he was the 93rd best linebacker. Not bad, right? There's a lot of linebackers in college football. Keep that in mind. In 2023, he dropped to the 724th. Okay. So the 2023 grade is what brought him down on my board. But also the consensus big board had him in the 141 spot when we took the information down. This was before the Underwear Olympics. Then the 33rd team had him in the 188 spot. Okay. So the 33rd team, the consensus big board all at the time, they would have agreed with me, okay, 91 is a little too rich. Now, if you were to go back to, like I said, the 2022 tape, you feel a little bit better about it. And it's not like, oh, well, he had a 9-plus RAS. He only had a 7-plus RAS. Now, I will say this. When you look at the tape, well, first of all, he was a top 30 and a Senior Bowl participant. So he was one of those guys we had lit up there in the purple, just saying, hey, this is a guy that's probably on the Packers' radar. And obviously, he ended up being that. When you go watch the tape, he doesn't look anything like Edgerrin Cooper. You know, Edgerrin Cooper just looked like a madman on tape in 2023. He was just, I mean, all over the place, no hesitation, fighting through blocks, smacking people in the mouth. Tyrone Hopper looked more like a leverage guy, a guy who's going to – he understands he's probably not as physical as someone like Edgerrin Cooper, so he's going to play a little bit smarter in how he gets from point A to point B, that type of thing. So – I wasn't as big on Tyrone Hopper, but by the time we got through watching that reel, I was like, you know what? Yeah, maybe he is the real deal. So I'm excited to see what he does. And this could be, guys, this could be Jaden Reed. I apologize for the dogs barking there. There's a rabbit out by the fence out here, and they are going nuts. That's the problem with living in the country. But anyway, you know, keep in mind, Jaden Reed was not that guy. Everybody was going, oh, yeah, Jaden Reed's going to be a stud. Everybody was going, Jaden Reed, man, that was a reach. That could be Tyrone Hopper next year. We may look up and he ends up taking one of those starting linebacker positions, right? Goody's seen something in him. Keep in mind, too, what when you do these top 30 visits, you know, some people say a large majority of them are smoke screens. I don't think that's the case. I think there probably is a little bit of that. Like Goody said, he specifically said, when you're drafting in the top 10, that's where you get into smoke screening with the top 30 visits, essentially what he said. I'm kind of paraphrasing. But the fact that they had their eyes on Tyrone Hopper, right, and then they turned around and they had their eyes on him. They did a top 30 visit, right? He was also at the Senior Bowl. I think they met with him at the Senior Bowl too, if I remember correctly. So if they met with him at the Senior Bowl, right, and then they invite him in for a top 30 visit, to me, if you end up drafting him, not only do you draft him, but you draft him way earlier than he probably should have went. You're taking him at 91. That tells me that top 30 visit was phenomenal, right? So what did Goody see at the top 30 visit? Did he just interview extremely well? And he's going to be one of those guys. It's just you could tell he's a team leader, a hard worker. That I'm sure all these guys are. Don't get me wrong. But there's something – when you do a top 30 visit and then you end up drafting someone – significantly higher than where everyone thinks he's going to go, that tells you, okay, he blew their socks off in that top 30 visit. And there was several, you know, obviously there was 30 different top 30 visits, right? I can't think of another one that they kind of overdrafted for, right? If anything, they got really good value with like Oladapo, which we'll talk about here in a second. But anyway, excited to see what Tyrone Hopper can do for sure. Evan Williams, with round 4, pick 111, the Packers took, again, I'm sorry, Tyrone Hopper, drafted at 91. He was 237 on my board. Here was another reach right here. With the 111th pick, the Packers selected Evan Williams, safety out of Oregon. Okay. So they took him at 111. He was 216 on my board. So let me explain to you why he was that low. Evan Williams, I did not have a grade for 2022. In 2023, he was the 157th highest graded safety in all of college football. Not horrible, okay? Seeing that he's at 217, that probably something else probably pulled him down. The consensus big board had him at 213 back when we pulled the info before the combine. And then the 33rd team had him in the 224 spot. Now, he did score an 8-plus RES, which helps. Once again, we pulled up a highlight reel while we were live on the air doing the draft party, and he is like a missile. This dude, I mean, I joked a little bit because, again, I don't think it was – according to my board, it's like, okay, this doesn't seem like a great value pick here where they took him. And when you watch the tape, you didn't see any hardly any highlights of him in coverage. Now, like Jake Chavink pointed out, that sometimes, you know, you don't see those highlights in pass coverage because it's just a ball batted down. If it's not an interception, you don't really see that, right? We pulled the grade, and he had like a 72 coverage grade, right? So it kind of checked out, wasn't too bad. So, you know, if you were to kind of look at him a little bit deeper and go, okay, Evan Williams, let's kind of take a peek. If it'll let us click on his profile, it may not. Yeah, it won't let you click on his profile for whatever reason. It says Williams earned a 75.0 plus PFF grade in three straight seasons and offers some value as a blitzer. From 20 pass rushing attempts in 2023, he racked up 8 quarterback pressures, including 5 sacks. So that's what we've seen on the tape was just him firing off from the safety position and blitzing the quarterback. Probably not going to do that as often at the NFL level, right? If you do that, you're going to get burned. They're going to hot read you to death, man. Now, the thing that the tape screamed to me is this dude is going to be one hell of a special teams player. Now, I'm not suggesting they drafted him just for special teams, but I can see him competing and raising that floor even higher for our special teams unit. And listen, the reality is, with the new rule changes to the kickoff, you're going to need that. It kind of just feels like Evan Williams is one of those guys. That's kind of how we felt about him. Up next, Jacob Monk, round 5, pick 163, offensive lineman out of Duke. Everybody went, who? On him, right? They took him at 163. He was not on my board at all, okay? So didn't have a whole lot on him, but they obviously, the Packers seen something in him, take him in the 5th round there. And I know there was a time and place when people would say the 5th round is kind of a throwaway. Like, oh, you know, what's he actually going to do to contribute? But, you know, ever since the Zach Tom draft pick, right, wherever he was taken, 4th, 5th round, wherever it was, you think of Dontavian Wicks, who's just an absolute stud, taken a little bit later in the draft too. That's not just a pick that you go, hey, let's just take a flyer on this guy. They had to feel pretty good about him. According to PFF, they said Monk wasn't among the top 300 players on the PFF big board and came in at 272 overall on the consensus big board. But the Packers tabbed him as their guy here in the trade-up. So they traded up to get him, continuing to add depth on the interior. Monk showed some versatility over the past few years at Duke, playing over 200 snaps at both center and right guard in each of the past two seasons. Nobody was expecting Zach Tom to come in and just take over, right? So this guy's going to come in and compete at probably mostly right guard, but also a little bit at center. Don't be surprised if Goody pulls another one out of his hat, right? Because, you know, Ryan Schlipp was the only one that was on Zach Tom. I don't remember many people going, Zach Tom's going to be awesome. If they had thought that, he would have been taken probably in the second or third round at a minimum, right? So just something to kind of keep our eye on there. When Goody makes a pick like that, you got to perk your ears up a bit, right? So let's see here. Never mind. Okay. I was going to go to the chat, but I'm scared to death to click the chat because I don't have people in here proofreading them for me. Sometimes you flash one up and you get in trouble. If Eric Sutherland's in here hanging out, he'll get you in trouble anyway. Get you canceled real quick. So that was Jacob Monk, 163. This next pick, one of my favorite picks. I would say my favorite picks were Javon Bullard first, this pick, and then Edgerrin Cooper, to be honest with you. And I don't have a problem with Jordan Morgan. Don't have a problem with that at all. I'm just saying, when you think of like your favorite picks of the draft, doesn't mean they're going to be the best players, but what was your favorite pick? This was right there, almost neck and neck with the Javon Bullard draft pick. And it's Ketan Oladapo, I think is how you say his name. We'll get his first name down. We know it's Oladapo for the last name. Picked 169. He was 85 on my big board. I mean, when they took him, go back and watch the stream. We acted like a bunch of freaking kids jumping around and screaming because he's just so fun to watch. He's so versatile. He's one of those guys that can play all over the place, right? You know, play the slot, can play safety. He's just he was a captain as well. Really like this pick at 169. Again, he was 85th on my board. PFF says the Packers add Oladapo, who is coming off his best college season this past year. He earned an impressive 88.3 PFF overall grade and a 91.3 run defense grade, the latter ranking as the best mark amongst Power 5 safeties. So he, according to PFF, was the best run defending safety amongst Power 5 schools, right? So probably going to be someone to compete for that box safety spot or slot. Now, some people were saying Javon Buller could kick in the slot and let Oladapo be your box safety, right? And then, obviously, you got Xavier McKinney kind of patrolling center field. The problem with that is, in today's NFL, you've got these safeties have to be versatile. They've got to be able to play both deep and in the box, right? We've talked about it. It's not just the Vic Fangio / Joe Barry defense where, you know, both safeties have to be able to play both spots. I mean, we've seen it when we broke down Xavier McKinney's tape a little bit when they signed him, right? We showed you where he was playing man coverage in the slot. We showed you where he was playing quarter half. He was playing half quarter, a cover six defense. We showed you where he was robbing. We showed you where he was just playing deep post safety, and boy, could he cover some ground. Well, you'll see when we do chalk talk for Javon Bullard, same thing. They showed a lot of shell looks. They like to show a lot of two high looks, and they would rotate out into a single high look, and he'd be playing deep safety. At times, you would go, he'd make a tackle in the backfield, and you go, there's no way he was playing deep safety. You roll the tape back, and sure enough, he was playing deep, and he's just that good at reading and recognizing, he being Javon Bullard. So when you talk about Oladapo being able to play the box safety position, maybe that means Javon Buller could play slot. I don't know if Oladapo was the perfect fit to be able to play that very versatile safety role. He may go into camp and just smoke Javon Buller. I'm not ruling that out. But to me, based off what I've seen so far, Javon Buller needs to be the safety starting opposite Xavier McKinney, because you've seen Buller do a little bit of everything the whole way. Now, Oladapo can do a little bit of everything too, but he's more of that, like they just talked about, that run defending. So what you may end up seeing are three safeties on the field. I wouldn't rule that out either, where you can bring a big safety in, what they call a big nickel, right? So you may have a little bit of that where you'll have three safeties and bring Oladapo in, let him kind of play almost like a stack backer position in those nickel passing situations. I wouldn't rule that out. Right. So just a really, really fun prospect to watch. There's no doubt about that. So let's see here. Up next at 202, we got Travis Glover, offensive lineman out of Georgia State. PFF, again, according to PFF, they say this was an average pick. And again, PFF isn't the tell-all, you know, end-all, guys. Please don't take it that way when we talk about PFF. It's just another source that we can use to kind of get a little bit more information on these prospects. But Travis Glover, it says, Glover offers plenty of length on the inside at 6'6" with nearly 35-inch arms. He played more than 4,000 defensive snaps for Georgia State, but didn't record a 70-plus PFF grade until his final season in 2023, led by an 80.8 PFF run defense grade. So I don't know what that's about, talking about run defense. They may have had that because he's an offensive tackle. Did he play both sides of the ball? If anybody in the chat knows that, let me know. They may be smoking something over at PFF. So that's what the little preview says. When it comes to Travis Glover on the board, though, we took him at 202. He was 159 on my big board. Now, people say, man, that's great value. I agree. We went and watched a little bit of his tape, and I got to be real, I wasn't as impressed. Some people were going, well, didn't you watch the tape before you made your board? No, I refuse. That's not what the board's for. I want my personal opinion completely removed from that board that we create every year. That's where people screw up sometimes, right? Because you think you know more than scouts know. Oh, well, I've got this guy. I watched the tape, and I think if you've got an eye for that, great. I'm just not as confident in myself to do that. So we compile all the information, and the board stays separated from our feelings. We'll talk about our feelings and our preferences on the pod, right? but I do not want any of that seeping into the board. So the board suggests it was a great pick, you know, a plus 43 there as far as where we took him and where he was sitting on the board. Again, took it 202, coming in the 159 spot. So, yeah, that's how he sits there. Travis Glover out of Georgia State. Now, obviously, like people were mentioning in the chat there, that's a smaller school, right, Georgia State. So you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt. What's the normal competition level look like? You know, we said that about Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft looked just fine, didn't he? Said that about Christian Watson. When Christian Watson's on the field and he's healthy, he does just fine, right? So I don't put a whole lot of stock in that. It's a small school. It's a small school. What did they do with their opportunities, and where do you think their value is in from a sense of where you want to take them in the draft? That's what's most important, right? So that's kind of how I see that. All right, let's see what else we got here. Michael Pratt, round 7, pick 245. Michael Pratt, quarterback out of Tulane. I thought this was an excellent pick. I mean, an absolutely excellent pick. Took him at 245. I had him at 131 on my big board. I thought he graded out just fine. If we go to his board here where he sits, yeah, 131. So in 2022, his PFF grade was he was the 26th highest graded quarterback in 2022. In 2023, he was the 76th highest graded quarterback. So I thought that was a really solid pick. Had an 8+ RAS. Consensus big board liked him around the 106 spot when we took the information down. Daniel Jeremiah, he was outside of Daniel Jeremiah's top 150, so that kind of hurt him on our board. But PFF suggests Michael Pratt's a pretty solid quarterback out of Tulane. And that's why Jacob hopped on here real quick. He said, I want to talk about my favorite player in the draft, and that's Michael Pratt. Go ahead, Jacob. You got the floor.
Clayton, do you hear me okay?
Got you, man.
Mobile. Perfect. Yeah, dude, I'm super pumped about Michael Pratt. I didn't think that I had any capacity to be interested in a quarterback during this draft. I scoffed at it, but we watched the highlights, and I know you don't just watch highlights, but dude, he's got some wheels for a quarterback, and he's got deep ball accuracy. I mean, it made me excited. I don't know exactly where that means for our boy Clifford, but you know, I'd be cool. A wild beard, so Lynn Pierce. I only got 10 minutes, and I got to run in, but
yeah, it's funny that people immediately, their response to Michael Pratt getting drafted, I was like, all right, man, that's great value. Obviously sitting 131 on my board, but the majority of the people on Twitter are like, oh, Sean Clifford, darn it. Like, we love that dude, right? There's nothing better than watching him on the sideline calling the opponent the B word, right? Like it doesn't get any better than that. So hopefully, if anything, it's going to raise that level of competition in the quarterback room. There's no two ways about that. And there'll be a little camp battle for that backup spot, right? And here's the thing. Whoever doesn't win that camp battle, they're going to try to sneak onto the practice squad, right? And I think you can protect – there's that rule, too, where you can actually have three quarterbacks active on game day with one being on the practice squad technically, right? It seemed like there was something like that last year.
So, the emergency quarterback or something?
Yeah. So maybe they're looking at it like that. Like, hey, man, let's utilize that rule and let's make sure we got us a solid third stringer, you know? I don't know. But before we let you go, I know you're not going to be on here very long. We were just about through it. Let me finish up here real quick. We got Kalen King, cornerback, with the 7th round pick. 255 was the pick. Took him at 255. He was 165 on my board. I thought that was really, really good. Really good value there. And when you look at him on the board.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
If you look at the 2023 grade, 708th graded corner. But I think Kalen King was our Jaden Reed this year. In 2022, Jacob, he was the 8th highest graded cornerback in all of college football, man. So Goody may have found him a little gem there. And I think it was Sauce Gardner that mentioned him in a tweet.
Yep.
Yeah, so he's kind of saying, hey, y'all sleeping on Kalen King. I'm excited to see what he does in camp. How cool would that be if he just soared right to the top and battled Eric Stokes for that cornerback spot? That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, it'd be great, too, because if you think about it, that means that we'd have our third consecutive year where a starter came out of the seventh round. We had Sheed Walker, we had Valentine, and now, boom, let's get Kalen King in the mix. That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's how the draft class sat. I did point this out before you hopped on, Jacob. Halfback Jarvion Howard that we signed as an undrafted free agent, he came in the 217 spot on the board. And Donovan Jennings, offensive lineman, came in at the 218 spot. So they were right there neck and neck. And, of course, there was rumors. I think it was Aaron Wilson, who covers the NFL, had tweeted out that we had signed Jalen Sundell. And then that, of course, ended up not working out. I think Cleveland got him. But anything stick out to you about the undrafted free agents, or have you not had time to probably trying to get caught up on sleep for looking at the undrafted free agents, right?
Yeah, I mean, after the marathon we did yesterday, I dove into some guys, and then that came out wrong. But then I had to work 12 hours today, so I was gone by about 9:30 this morning. So I haven't tied my – I know Donovan Jennings. We looked him up at a little bit of a mini deep dive. The running back, yeah. Other than that, you know, it stinks because weren't we like $100,000 cheaper than somebody else to sign Sundell? Is that the case?
That's what it sounded like, yeah.
Yeah. And then I saw your boy Sam Hartman went to the Commanders. Did you see that?
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. The lettuce will be flowing up there in D.C., that's for sure, man. Got the best hair in college football last year. I don't know, Matt. That's kind of interesting. We'll see what he does. He's really experienced. One of those guys that just it was like he was a 15-year vet in college football because he'd been there so long. He played like so many years. It was wild. But, yeah, anyway, it's interesting to see where all these players end up going. The one that hurt me was Gabriel Murphy. Did you see where he went?
Let's just see right here if I can put it on the screen because it won't let me. Minnesota, right?
Yeah, Minnesota Vikings.
Right now. Man, that stinks. That's a good.
I was so mad when I seen that, man, because he was a solid edge defender, man. I know he was pretty high on my board. He sat there forever, man. Him and Leonard Taylor were pretty close together. Graded out really well with PFF in 2022, jumped even higher in 2023, scored a 9+ RAS, just everything kind of matched what you'd be looking for. I did not expect him to fall that far or, you know, to go undrafted, rather. I had him in the 71 spot. So, yeah, definitely worthy of the top 100 pick.
Did Little end up not getting drafted as well?
Yeah, he hasn't even signed, bro. Like, man. Yeah, the last I've heard, Leonard Little has still not signed with a team. So, just absolutely wild. Yeah, there's got to be something there, and I'm sure it'll come out later. Hopefully for his sake it doesn't come out, but – because maybe if he just kind of let him sit for a little bit, he can get a second shot if he did screw up and do something wrong. But that's wild, man, that he fell that far. Because, again, you know, Taylor was 75th on my board. He was the 19th highest graded defensive tackle in 2022. Took a step back in 2023, dropped to 143, had a 7+ RAS. So it wasn't like the RAS was absolutely horrible. It would suggest he wouldn't be worthy of a first-round pick. But I don't think anybody expecting him to go undrafted, man. That's wild.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah, there it is. There's your draft class. You got anything you want to say before you hop off here, man? I know you got to get back to work. I appreciate you coming by, man.
Yeah, no, man, I found out last night after, again, being up for all day, delirious, third day of streaming, I put like a small – it wasn't even really a joke. It was more just like a snide comment. I was like it was the fact that Caleb Williams apparently sent their punter, one of four draft picks, one of them being a punter. He sent him a text being like, hey, man, you ain't going to need to punt much this year or something like that. And I took a screenshot of it, posted it, and I was like, look at your leader, blah, blah, blah. Like, first thing he does as a teammate is tell his other guy, like, hey, I know it's your big day and everything, but we don't need you, basically. And it was like in jest. I didn't really care. It wasn't my best work, but, you know, it was late. I put it up.
It wasn't my best work.
Somebody retweeted it onto some Bears fans page. Oh, my God, dude. I've never been attacked by Bears fans before on Twitter because I got like 200 followers. I don't care. I don't care about that crap. But I spent the whole day. Once I figured out that the thing was growing, I had like so many Chicago Bears fans in my DMs doing all sorts of this and that threats, call me an idiot. Brian commented on the thing and he goes, Jacob, just bookmark it. This is going to be so fun later. So I did. Yeah, I just bookmarked it. And all I did from the whole night, all I responded with was – the lipstick emoji, the nails emoji, and then the bear emoji. Oh,
no. Emoji. You did. And then all to the juggler.
I just went lipstick, nail polish, bears, poop. And that's all I say to all of them. And they lose their minds to that. Oh, like, they're, oh, it is so great.
Yeah.
But anyways. And
that's been the thing about Caleb, though. It's like he's got all the talent in the world, but he just continues to do stuff that makes you go, why that doesn't feel like a leadership thing to do, right? Like,
right. That's, that was my only point.
Yeah, I could care less about the nails. I think it's funny that people joke about it and everything. I got you. But for me, it was, you know, someone said, oh, you got upset because he cried after they lost. Like, okay, he wants to win. I'm like, you're leaving out the important part that he climbed into his mother's lap in the stands.
He covered his face and bawled. Like, bawled.
Like, it's like, hold up a minute. How many people in the locker room? You're not going to convince me that 100% of the locker room is like, oh, that's not an issue. I guarantee you some of those guys are going, I ain't really. Because as a leader, if you lose a big game, right, you should be, if you're a true leader, you should be looking at how do I pick my teammates up, right? Like, how do I need to be the one with the strong face. Hey, we're going to get over this. We're going to get through this. Be a leader, right? And your response is, I'm going to go find my mom and cry. I mean, it's hard enough to laugh, right? Because it's like, show me where that's ever happened in the NFL.
If it was Little League in like sixth grade, I'd be like, all right, that's legit. I understand. But, dude, you're on the like one of the highest stages. And like you said, I mean, whatever. I don't have to get into it anymore. Bears suck. That's how I'll end this.
That's all that matters.
I can probably hop on, hopefully, just a short time tomorrow night, and then I'll be back Tuesday night through the rest of the week. So, should be good.
Sounds good, man.
Dive deep into these prospects. So,
awesome.
Go Pack, go.
Yeah, have a good night, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, that was Jacob the Beard joining us there for just a couple of minutes. Love that dude. It was a lot of fun, man. That was a grind trying to get through that draft. I know some people are going, oh, how hard could it be sitting in the seat, you know, watching the draft? I'll tell you what, my eyes went crossed a couple times, staring at the screen, staring at numbers, staring at the draft board. If it hadn't been for Emilio, I probably would have fell asleep in the chair because he kept me laughing the whole time. So, yeah. Yeah, let's see here. R.E. Iron Miner in the chat says, right, you can't BS your way through the NFL. Completely agree, man. It's just, again, it's just something's just off there. Now here's the thing. If he comes out and he plays just lights out and they win, I'm not saying that he will, but if he does, a lot of that stuff will not even come to the surface. But when you're faced with adversity and you lose, that's when that stuff comes to the surface. That's what happened to him, right? The year before, you just seen the big bad Caleb Williams that was writing FUND on his nails, talking crap to everybody, flashing the Heisman pose, right? Notice that. Everything I just said is just it's kind of backing up my whole opinion of Caleb Williams this entire time was like, show me the NFL player who's painted on his nail. And I'm not talking about painting now. I'm talking about the message he painted on the nails. FUND, talking about their opponent they were playing. Show me the NFL Hall of Famer, because he's supposed to be a generational talent. That's what everybody's saying. Show me the NFL Hall of Famer that did that. And you won't find one, right? Show me the NFL Hall of Famer that lost the game, climbed in the crowd, and cried in his mother's arms, right? After a game when your teammates are just as, you know, upset as you are, than you are, right? You're not going to find one. All those things that he's done, it's just everything screams, look at me, look at me, look at me. And you know that a real leader, they will absorb criticism and redistribute praise, right? He doesn't come across as that type of person. Now, time will tell. Again, if they come out and they win, may not come to the surface. If they come out and they win four games this year, five games, and he's not used to that, I'm not going to be surprised if he blows up. That's just me. So, there you go. Anything else we need to hit on? This went by quick. We just literally recapped the draft class, and we're already at the 50-minute mark. Absolutely wild. Let's see here. I think I had one or two other things I wanted to hit on about hit that Home Depot music. We're going to hold off on that till the guys are back for sure. So, oh, here we go. I did want to hit on this real quick. We hit the undrafted free agents. We got the draft class. So in 2023, we'll wrap up this. We'll go real quick here. In 2023, the Packers draft class, this is their RAS that was attached, okay? Lucas Van Ness, with the 13th overall pick, 939 RAS. Luke Musgrave, the 42nd pick, 978. Jaden Reed, RAS was 6.74. Tucker Kraft, RAS 9.68. Kobe Wooden, RAS 9.25. Sean Clifford, RAS 9.04. Dontavian Wicks, that was a fifth-round pick. So I was right about that, a second fifth-round pick too. His RAS, Dontavian Wicks, 9.17. Carl Brooks, RAS, 5.88. Anders Carlson had an incomplete profile at the time. Carrington Valentine, 9.3. Lou Nichols III did not have a RAS. Anthony Johnson Jr., safety slash cornerback out of Iowa State, had an 8.13. I think we got one more. Grant Dubose, wide receiver in the seventh round, had an 8.79. Okay, so that was last year's draft class and where their RAS sat. This year, very, very similar. Again, last year you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. What, 13 picks last year. Out of those 13 picks, only two of them were less than an 8 RAS, right? And two of them were incomplete. So you had 4 out of 13 that had, so 4 of the 13, so 9 of the 13 draft picks were an 8 RAS or higher, okay? So we look at this draft class, boom, Goody did it again. So Jordan Morgan, RAS 9.25. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, 9.13. Javon Bullard, free safety, 8.25. Marshawn Lloyd, running back, 8.62. Tyron Hopper from Missouri, in the third round, 7.42. So there's your first one under 8. Evan Williams, safety, out of Oregon, 8.2 RAS. Jacob Monk out of Duke, 9.74 RAS. That's, I think those numbers are crunched as a center. Ketan Oladapo, fifth-round pick, 8.18 was his RAS. Travis Glover out of Georgia State, offensive tackle, was a 4.71 RAS. So there's your second one of the group. Michael Pratt out of Tulane, quarterback, 8.28 was the RAS. And then Kalen King, the final pick, out of Penn State, 6.68. So we drafted 11 players this year's draft, and only 3 of those 11 didn't have an RAS higher than 8. So to show you the direction in which the not just the Packers, but the league is going, because there's people sharing these type of numbers all throughout the draft. RAS is alive and well. There's no doubt about that. I think it's a really cool metric. And again, I'm not suggesting that the Packers or any other NFL team go to the RAS site and pull information, but they have their own athletic profiles that they're creating, right? And RAS is just a great one for us to use. So shout out to those folks over there that bring us that information. They're absolutely awesome. One other thing to mention here, people will say the top 30 visits don't matter. They say, I mean, you hear it every year. Oh, well, the top 30 visit doesn't mean anything. People stop focusing on the top 30 visit. Of the 11 draft picks we made, 3 of them were top 30 visits. It was Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, and Oladapo. So hopefully I didn't miss any there. If I did, you guys comment and hit me up, and we'll change the graphic here. But it looks like 3 of the 11 were top 30 visits. So, again, that was Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, and Oladapo. So just wanted to kind of hit on that a little bit and show you how that fell into place as well. And, last year with the top 30 visits, out of 13 picks, we had 4 that were top 30 visits. That was Sean Clifford, Dontavian Wicks, Carl Brooks, and Lou Nichols III. So that's how that feel. But that being said, I'm going to hop into the chat real quick, see if we got anything, and then we'll wrap this big bear up. Man, this show absolutely flew by. I'm not going to lie either. I'm still a little woozy from lack of sleep. The stream yesterday was 7 hours and 55 minutes we were on camera. I'm telling you right now, it's a different kind of tired. There's no doubt about that. So we're going to get a good night's sleep tonight. Finally ran Emilio off today. Just an absolute blast having him here at the house, man. We ate so much freaking food. Oh, my God. We were destroyed. We had a place local called Bella Vita, best pizza in town, authentic Italian restaurant. We had loads of pizza. We had cannolis. We threw it down, and it was absolutely awesome. So Let's see here. SDM40 said Jennings was a top 30 visit. See, I thought he was, but it wasn't in my notes. So I need to add that there as well. But, yeah, thank you so much for that, SDM40. I thought the same exact thing, man. He was undrafted. Never mind. Undrafted free agent I didn't have on the list. So, yeah, there you go. Coach Lynn points out it was undrafted free agent. And that's what SDM40 was saying. So, yeah, Donovan Jennings was a top 30 visit as well. So we got four players. Pretty cool. Top 30 visits. So it does matter, man. Again, it's not everything, but it does matter. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah. All right. We're going to get out of here. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. It's always a blast talking ball with y'all. We have a ton of people in here. If you guys would, hit that like button for us and hit sub, share it, all that good stuff. Help boost the algorithm so other Packer fans can find this channel, find this content. The channel is absolutely blowing up. We're going to get some stuff kind of restructured and make sure that as we get deeper into the offseason, we're going to be bringing you guys and gals even more content. We got some really cool stuff. This week is going to be full of Chalk Talk episodes. We're ready for Edger and Cooper. Then we'll do Javon Buller. We'll try to do them in the order in which we drafted them. I've got a quick video here about Jordan Morgan. Just a little bit of music playing and just kind of a highlight reel. I'm not going to do a Chalk Talk segment on the offensive tackle, on Jordan Morgan, because it would just be me going, all right, yeah, good base, good feet. Oh, nice strike with the hands. Okay, yeah, solid. You know what I mean? For me, I like kind of breaking down the X's and O's a bit and showing, all right, here's the exact assignment rather than – I just don't want to bore you with the offensive line stuff. But here's a quick video from Packers.com on Jordan Morgan. Again, if you guys are listening on the pod, you probably go ahead and skip ahead. You're just going to hear some music, and it's a highlight reel that goes with the music. But, yeah, if you want to hang out, that's cool. We'll wrap it up here in just a second. Let's hit this since we're not going to be doing a Chalk Talk on Jordan Morgan. Let's hit this video from Packers.com. Well, here's a hog molly, let me tell you. R. Shower says Morgan's hand usage is top 1%. Watch for that. Yeah, he's just he looks like a beast, looks like a monster. And one of those guys that kind of has that, like I said, a high floor. PFF said Morgan returned from a torn ACL in 2023 and had an excellent season for a resurgent Arizona squad. There are questions about his play strength and arm length, so he may move inside in the NFL. Those shortcomings weren't an issue in college, though, as Morgan ranked inside the top 7 in overall and pass blocking grade this past season. Green Bay now has several versatile players on its offensive line and are sure to shuffle them around during the preseason to find the optimal combination. Obviously, it's what Coach LaFleur always talks about, saying, saying we're going to get the best 5 out there. Right, it's what he always talks about. It's huge. Let's see here. We'll share the card real quick just to kind of show you what we have here with Jordan Morgan. Again, in 2022, the grade was 84.2. In 2023, it was 83.4. And you see every one of his snaps were taken at left tackle. That's what makes me a little hesitant on him playing guard. And we know left tackle is way more important than guard. I think we would all agree, right? It's the most important offensive line position. So it might be something where he kind of gives Rashid Walker a run for his money at left tackle, right? If that's the case, I don't know if Sheed can play inside. I'm sure he can, but I don't know if that's best suited for him. It's going to be interesting to see how they shuffle this around, right? I know some people were saying, hey, why don't you play him at right tackle and kick Tom inside? You could go that route, but the thing that I've always heard from offensive linemen, former offensive linemen, Tauscher said it. He was asked on Wilde and Tausch one day. He said, how hard is it to go from playing left to right at the tackle position? Now the inside's a lot easier because you don't have to kick out as wide, right? when you're out there on that island on the edge and you got those wide nines, those seven looks, and God forbid they put a couple defenders over top of the tackle and you've really got to pick your spot in case they run a game on you. But he said, going from left to right at the tackle position, he said, go home tonight and try to wipe your rear end with your opposite hand. He said, that's how difficult it is. And I'll never forget that. I'm like, that's probably a pretty good explanation. That sounds extremely difficult. I'm not going to lie. And I'm someone who can throw left and bat left as well. I was taught myself how to switch hit when I played ball. And it was hard to get used to hitting left-handed. But once you did, there's pros and cons to it. It's like a little better contact hitter out of the lefty spot, but not as much power as your kind of your natural position. But when it comes to playing tackle, man, that awkwardness of your kick step and having to set your base and knowing how to basically completely flip how you're distributing the weight on your feet, right, on your legs, it sounds extremely difficult. So I don't want to come across as one of those people that say, one of those fans that says, oh, just play him at right tackle. I did it on Madden, right? So I think it's a lot more difficult than that is all I'm saying. So we'll see, though, man. Camp's going to be fun. You already got camp battles that you got kind of queued up here, right? It's, you know, who's going to be the Mike? Who's going to be the Will, right? Because you're going to notice on Chalk Talk, several times they had Edgerrin Cooper in the Mike. You could see it, right? So I know PFF doesn't differentiate between those, at least at the college level, to the best of my knowledge. But when you look at on the tape, there were several times on this highlight reel that we're going to break down for Chalk Talk that you've seen Edgerrin Cooper kind of playing that Mike spot. Now, Mike and Will is very, very interchangeable when it comes to playing a nickel defense. Many people are still stuck in the 90s where you play a base the majority of the time, a base 4-3, and they're talking about Sam backers. If someone goes, well, who's going to be our Sam? Just change the conversation because they don't know what you're talking about. That Sam is almost dead in today's NFL because you stay in nickel anywhere from 70 to 85% of the time, right? And when you are in a Sam, what I'm seeing with some of these teams like San Francisco, Houston, and the New York Jets, which I think will be the closest thing we have to a preview of what Jeff Hafley's defense may look like in the NFL, they're just playing stack backers. They're not playing that true Sam where they're up on the line and they got to be a hybrid pass rusher and all that, be able to cover the tight end, set the edge, and rush the quarterback. To me, what I'm seeing is just these defensive ends, like what San Francisco do, they're going to come out in a wide seven or a wide nine, and that stack backer is just going to play that. He's going to play stack backer. The Sam's going to play stack backer, even those 4-3 sets. Now, you can get exotic a little bit, start mugging the A-gaps and put a little pressure with your inside backers, or at least try to do what we call that sugar mug, right, where you're basically you're showing a blitz in the A-gap, but you're really dropping into coverage, and that freezes the center, isolates him. So it's you're killing two birds with one stone, right? You're essentially occupying the center because he's got to honor the fact that you may be blitzing or else you're going to hit their quarterback in the mouth before he even gets a snap. But also you're isolating him from helping out on any other blocks, and then you're dropping into coverage. You're taking whether it's a spot, typically that type of sugar with a drop in it is playing zone coverage, but you're kind of occupying space and one player, therefore giving your guys a hat count advantage, just like you would in the running game or anything else. So that's all football is, guys. It's just a numbers game. It's a numbers game. First and foremost, where can we get the advantage? How can we steal a gap? How can we steal a spot? All those things. How can we throw, as Coach Lim could attest, how can we throw a specific route combination into the mix with this defense that we've scouted for 2 weeks now? We know, okay, here's what they like to do against trips. Here's what they like to do against bunch. All right, let's try to put a route combination in that kind of frees us up on the hat count and gets someone running free. That's the number one goal, right? Unless you're playing like an RPO isolation game type thing. So anyway, that's it. Just wanted to kind of hit on these grades. Real quick, Jordan Morgan, pass blocking grade, 87.1. Run blocking grade is what gets me real excited. A 77.0. We talked about it. That's why we were raving over this draft pick and really liked it once we dug in, because run blocking is – we've been struggling with run blocking in Green Bay here lately, right? So hopefully we can get that out of the dumps and back together. But I'm excited about Jordan Morgan to see what he can do as we move forward. So, again, we'll be back tomorrow night. What we'll probably do tomorrow, we had a couple videos I wanted to get to, but we ran out of time. We may go ahead and do Chalk Talk tomorrow night, but if we got the guys on, I think it would be good to just kind of go around the horn one last time about the draft class, kind of their experience, what they learned, that type of thing, because that's what's most important this time of year is when you're kind of diving into this stuff, you got to come away a better fan. You got to come away a little more educated. Lower the ego. I have to do it all the time, man. I don't know anything. Like, and you got to go into it like that. You got to go into it like, okay, I'm gonna pull something out of this event, whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency, whether it's training camp, preseason, whatever it is that you're keeping up with. It's so important to just always be learning as a fan. Don't fall into that crowd where it's, okay, I know everything. You're an idiot if you disagree with me and move on. That's not how we get better, man. So let's see here. Let's go to the chat one last time. This is cool. Dan Lane said this earlier. I hope I'm saying that right, Mr. Dan. I think it's Lang. He said J.J. Enagbare may be ready for week one. I heard that as well. Basically, Matt LaFleur said, if I understood correctly, kind of reading between the lines, Coach LaFleur said that Kingsley Enagbare did not tear his ACL. If he had tore his ACL, you're looking at like 6 to 12 months, rehab, recovery, all that good stuff. If it's just a partial tear, I think someone was saying it could be like 3 to 5 months recovery, which means there's a good chance he'll be ready for week one. So now, again, we always say you want to learn where people's priorities are, look at their checkbook and their calendar, right? With the Packers in this sense right here, did they draft an edge? They did not. That says all we need to know, right, about Kingsley Enagbare. So I think that information is true there, Dan, and appreciate you bringing that up. I would have totally forgot about talking about it. Doug Pointer says, thanks for all you do, Clayton. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate you being a part of this, man. Appreciate you hanging out with us. R. Shower says, you guys showed up, showed top of my Rumble feed before I even subscribed. That's awesome, man. Good stuff. Rumble's growing every day. I'm getting notifications like crazy. People are subbing to the channel. So that's awesome that we just give you another platform, right, to get the content. So the show's better when y'all are in here in the chat. I apologize for not being more interactive with the chat tonight. When you're flying solo, though, it's a little more difficult to kind of focus on the chat and gather your thoughts. Again, I don't want to put anything up here that's going to offend anyone. So I'd like to read the comments before I put them up. And I definitely don't want dead air for the people listening on the pod while we do that. So, all right, we're out. Appreciate y'all. Again, special shout out to Ticket King. Appreciate them. And we will be back tomorrow night for PTA Live. We're going to get another giveaway set up. We were going to try to do another one in day two of the draft, but I had to get some more information on what it was Jacob had for the giveaway. We'll get a picture of the item and all that. And we'll set up another giveaway for our Patreon members. We appreciate y'all supporting the show. Y'all have just showed up in force. You're the lifeblood of what we do. And really, really appreciate y'all supporting us. If you're interested in joining the PTA Posse on Patreon, click on the link in the description of this video. Or you can just go to patreon.com and search Packer Fan Total Access. It's just a way that fans can support the show. And then we like to gather autographed Packers memorabilia and kind of do those as giveaways just to show, you know, how much we appreciate y'all supporting us through Patreon too. Just a cool little way that, hey, you guys can win prizes as we go along. Because again, you got to have equipment. You got to have, you know, Emilio drove 2 hours to come up here to be in studio. Stuff like that costs money. And when you guys support the show, it definitely helps the cause. So we appreciate y'all so much. Everybody that's a Patreon member. And again, if you want to join that, just click on the link in the description. So thank you all so much. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go, Pack, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Become a tackle. Take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.